From Storyflow.
This is your daily audio brief.
Hey, it's Theo.
August 16th. Five things in tech that mattered this morning. Let's start with the one that surprised me most.
Let's get into it. First, from InfoQ, RPG SimCity turns PostgreSQL complexity into a virtual city 3D simulation. The idea is to help backend developers and site reliability engineers better understand how their code affects the database, which is a huge pain point in the industry. And the best part is, it's all interactive, so you can experiment with different scenarios and see how they play out in the simulation.
It's not just a visual aid, though, it's actually a working simulation of the PostgreSQL mechanics.
You can see how queries are executed, how locks are acquired, and how data is stored.
It's a really cool way to wrap your head around the complexities of database architecture.
The project is available on GitHub, and I think it could be a game changer for anyone working with PostgreSQL.
I mean, who wouldn't want to visualize their database as a 3D city?
It's just a really intuitive way to understand how things work.
I'm actually thinking about reaching out to Nicolay to see if we can get him on a podcast to talk more about it.
I think our listeners would really appreciate it.
Next, second from Hackaday. Machine learning coffees hear sunspots before we can see them.
I've been thinking about how NASA new model coffees actually listens to the sun. Instead of looking straight at the magnetic chaos inside, it takes the surface magnetic field and acoustic waves we can measure, feeds them into a neural net, and the system starts flagging, where a sunspot will pop up sometimes up to half a day before we see any dark patch.
The trick is that the model infers the deep-seated flows and fields, turning those hidden patterns into a short-term forecast. That extra lead time could be a real help when a big flare threatens, giving us a few more hours to brace for any geomagnetic fallout.
Up next,
third from Slashdot.
Copper's surprising melting behavior provides insights for future fusion power plant design.
Hey, you know how scientists are trying to create fusion power plants that mimic the heart of a star?
They need materials that can handle insane heat loads like copper and its alloys.
Researchers at SLAC National Accelerator Laboratory just figured out a key detail about copper's melting behavior that's going to help them design better fusion reactors. They used a super powerful electron camera to capture the atomic movements in copper as it heated up, and what they found was surprising: the metal melted steadily rather than collapsing all at once. It turns out the crystal lattice of copper can handle a certain level of superheating before it starts to break down, which is a crucial insight for simulating materials under extreme conditions.
This is a big deal because it's going to help them predict which materials can survive the heat of a fusion reaction chamber.
And then,
fourth from The Verge.
Polaroid's tiny instant camera is $72 and includes a free pack of film.
I just stumbled upon this thing that's got me thinking.
The second gen Polaroid goes a tiny instant camera that's now $72, which is a steal considering it usually costs $109.99 on its own.
What's even crazier is that you get a free pack of film with it, which normally costs $21.99.
The camera itself is more compact, and it shoots on smaller film, 53.9mm x 66.6mm, to be exact.
That's a great size for tossing into your wallet or sticking on your bulletin board.
And the battery life is insane, lasting up to 15 packs of film on a single charge via USB-C.
Next.
Fifth from Emerging AI, Anthropic's official Claude Code Masterclass plus the complete learning roadmap.
Boris Cherny's demo isn't just about new coding tricks, it flips the whole prompting workflow on its head.
Instead of firing a single prompt at Claude and waiting, he builds routines that let Claude juggle multiple tasks: writing, testing, spotting errors, and fixing them while the developer does something else.
The key shift is moving from I'm prompting to I'm building a prompt-driven routine.
Claude gets a clear job, the right context, and a loop that verifies its own output before calling it done. That's the habit worth picking up if you want the tool to feel more like a teammate than a one-off assistant.
If you're new to Claude Code, think of the three guides as a step-by-step syllabus.
First, watch how Boris wires his agents together and handles verification.
Next, replicate that setup yourself, wiring in skills, plugins, and loops.
Finally, dive into the Model Choices Sonnet, Opus Fable, and learn when to lean on each for the best balance of effort and control.
Take it one piece at a time, watch the video, absorb Boris's method, then follow the guides. By the end, Claude Code should feel less like a co-generator and more like a system you can teach to check, fix, and keep moving forward on its own.
Up next, sixth from The Chipletter. RISC-V, what really matters and what probably doesn't.
I just read the back and forth that's been bubbling around Dmitry Grinberg's rant on RISC-V's compressed ops.
He calls the 16-bit offsets hilariously poorly designed, basically saying you can only encode a handful of byte or half-word offsets, which feels like a design oddity more than a fatal flaw.
The community's response is pretty grounded.
Luke Wren,
who built the open source Hazard 3 core for the Pico 2, says RISC-V hits his two must-haves. It's in LLVM/GCC, and you can implement it without a lawyer's love letter.
A Meta Accelerator team member adds that the ISA's customizability makes it a solid choice for our chips, and they are seeing real success.
Those points line up with the broader view. RISC-V is free, well-supported, and extensible, so it works great for hobbyists and specialized accelerators.
The big desktop and smartphone arena is still a question mark. ARM's mature ecosystem and out-of-order cores still have the edge, and many companies will just license ARM rather than build a high-performance RISC-V core from scratch.
There's a poll from a few years back on where people see RISC-V heading, and the plan is to run it again.
It'll be interesting to see if the sentiment shifts as more AI-focused designs keep popping up.
And then,
7th from Rich on Tech, how to spot and stop scams, Pixel 11 explain, and my new restaurant search trick 1 and 1087, August 15, 2026. So I was thinking about how we can all be a bit more careful when it comes to scams. It's really just about slowing down and taking a step back when someone's asking for something, whether it's money or personal info.
If someone's trying to rush you into doing something, that's a big red flag.
Take a moment to independently verify what they are asking for, and don't be afraid to stop the conversation. Altogether, something feels off.
I also came across this idea of setting up a private code word with your family. So if someone's trying to scam one of you by claiming to be a family member in need, you can ask for the code word to verify their identity.
It's a simple trick, but it could really help prevent some nasty situations. I've also been playing around with a new Pixel 11, and I have to say, the camera is really impressive. The way it can adjust for low light conditions is pretty remarkable. But what's really interesting is how it's using machine learning to improve the overall photo quality. On a separate note, I found this cool trick for searching for restaurants. You can use specific keywords to filter results and find exactly what you're looking for. It's not a new feature or anything, but it's definitely something that's been flying under the radar.
Next,
8th from Slashdot.
X open sources its ranking and filtering algorithms.
This means users can now see exactly how their feed is curated and what signals are used to weight different posts.
The codebase is roughly 10-15 times larger than before, with added details like model configuration and filter parameters.
What's even more interesting is that X is providing tools for users to see how its ranking systems have impacted their account or posts.
A new under the hood page in the app settings will allow users to download their aggregate stats as a JSON file showing if any labels have been applied to their account or posts over the past month.
X engineers are even open to considering pull requests, which could lead to the community improving the algorithm itself.
The company's VP of product, Keith Coleman, seems genuinely excited about this prospect, saying it would be amazing to have the public contribute to the algorithm's development.
Up next,
9th from CNET News. Kingdom Hearts 4 fans are well fed after 2 days of great trailers. The new 4-minute trailer that finally played at D23 gave us a lot more texture than the quick teaser. We see King Mickey stepping out as a playable character, but instead of sword fighting, he's navigating a magical book filled with origami-style puzzles, hinting at a quieter side of the game.
Maleficent is back as a heavy-hitting antagonist, and the sprawling Quadratum district looks set to dominate the map with fresh movement tricks that let Sora zip around larger battles against massive Heartless.
The hub draws on Toontown's bright, kid-friendly vibe, promising Disney-themed minigames, while Nomura confirmed a piece that was cut from KH3 will finally see the light.
All of this is slated for a 2027 launch with no delays on the horizon.
And then, 10th from Hackaday.
Turning energy drinks into rocket fuel.
So someone took energy drinks and turned them into fuel for a rocket.
The idea is based on something called rocket candy, which uses sugar as a fuel source when combined with an oxidizer like potassium nitrate.
To make this work with energy drinks, the first step was to remove the moisture. Since water doesn't mix well with rocket fuel, the energy drink was turned into a thick syrup, and then potassium nitrate was added to create the fuel oxidizer mixture.
But before that could happen, the carbonation had to be removed using a vacuum chamber, because CO2 and fire don't get along. This process is similar to making your own rocket candy, which can be done with products from the local supermarket.
It's worth noting that making your own rocket fuel at home comes with some significant risks.
The line between a rocket and a bomb is pretty thin, and it's not something you want to cross accidentally.
Despite the risks, it's interesting to see how everyday items like energy drinks can be repurposed in unexpected ways.
The process of turning energy drinks into rocket fuel is a complex one, requiring careful attention to detail and a good understanding of the chemistry involved.
It's not something that should be attempted without proper knowledge and precautions. However, it's a fascinating example of how creative problem solving can lead to innovative solutions. Overall, this project is a great example of outside-the-box thinking and the potential for everyday items to be used in new and unexpected ways.
It's a reminder that with the right knowledge and skills, it's possible to create something truly unique and impressive.
The fact that energy drinks can be used to make rocket fuel is a surprising one,
and it highlights the importance of understanding the chemistry behind everyday items.
By experimenting with different materials and processes, it's possible to discover new and innovative ways to use familiar products.
That's it for today. Tomorrow morning, whatever the night brings,
stay curious.
That's your brief.
Find every story and claim your own free feed at storyflow.com.